We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing. Woo!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Wheeling, dealing, limousine right, jet flying, son of a gun.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, exactly 1 o'clock here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. We got Pac-12 schedule news to get to. Zion did not play yesterday. Well, he did, but not really. Kind of a crock of S right there, if you ask me. But we kick off hour number two with sports trader for BetMGM, Christian Cipollini. He joins us now here on Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. Christian, good to have you with us, my man. I will start with our hometown team, the Portland Trail Blazers. They're kind of a sexy pick for a lot of people. What are the bettors out there? What do we think of the Trail Blazers' odds to make the playoffs and maybe even compete for a title?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
So the Blazers actually are one of our more interesting teams we have. To win the NBA Finals, they're actually our largest liability at the moment. But I think that kind of comes with the fact that they're a pretty big underdog, but probably the best team available at that price. But as you mentioned as well, even to make the playoffs, it's still an uphill battle. They're still an underdog to do that, but people tend to like that so far. We've been getting a lot of bets on them.
Yeah. How are you feeling about that game today? I mean, it's got to be really hard to gamble on these games early on, just not knowing exactly what you're going to see from certain teams and, you know, playing limited guys in the scrimmage games and stuff. I think they're a 2.5, 3-point, 2-point favorite, depending on where you're looking. Just how do you feel about this opener against Memphis?
Yeah, right now they're 3-point favorites. As you said, it is a little bit difficult to judge kind of, you know, where this will fall. It's, you know, they're all restarting games that they're not playing for months, but going into this, you know, there was a lot of info on it. So I think the Trailblazers are a team, too, that definitely benefited from the restart. They're kind of a team that kind of needed to pause and reset and refocus. So we've been seeing actually a lot of action. People like the Blazers so far today, too, against the Grizzlies in that 3.5.
Yeah. Christian Cipollini is our guest here, BetMGM sports trader. Let me ask you about playing in Orlando and how that kind of impacts the betting world or the betting side of things. If your season just continues and everybody's playing how they were playing, it's an easier read. It's got to be an easier feel of who teams are. When you take this much time off and then you restart everything in Orlando in a bubble and, you know, COVID testing and guys being injured or not being there, just how unpredictable and tough do you think this is? Have we ever had a tougher moment in betting a sport than what we do right now with the way COVID sports are going on?
Yeah, a little bit. There's definitely been a little bit of difficulties, you know, in trying to figure out what's going to happen. But, you know, we do have 60 games of info on these guys. So we do have something to go off of, at least, which helps. But there's, you know, this is kind of unprecedented. You know, no one's ever stopped from 4 months and then restarted again.
Right.
So there has been difficulties, but we do have info. So,
well, how are you feeling about it? I mean, we mentioned Portland and their chances to win the West and to win the finals, and now people are putting bets in on them potentially for either of those. Where is the rest of the money coming in? Are we seeing a lot of money coming in on just kind of chalk this year? It feels like the NBA playoffs are usually that way, where it's kind of, you know, Lakers and Bucks, number one seeds, and we'll see in the NBA finals. Are they feeling like the year's going to be different? Like, where is that money getting spread out on right now in terms of who's going to win the NBA finals?
Yes, those teams you just mentioned are right now 60% of our money is on the Lakers, Clippers, and Bucks, you know, the three top favorites. Mm-hmm. That's where a lot of people ride. Other than that, Sixers have gotten a lot of bets, same with the Nuggets. And although the Trailblazers are 1% of our handle, like I said, they're our biggest liability at the moment, but that, you know, kind of goes in line with their price.
Well, Christian, what are you looking at? What do you like when you look at these odds for the NBA getting back to the restart here? What is Christian Cipollini like at BetMGM? What are you looking at right now?
Well, I'm from the Philadelphia area, so I may be a little biased, but I also think the Sixers have also benefited from this restart. They were another team that kind of needed to pause, reset, and kind of regroup with everything.
Sixers, huh? A little biased. I'm smelling a little bias.
A little bit of bias, but they're another team for at their price, kind of along the same lines of the Blazers, where at their price, you're getting a lot of value in picking these teams, because these are teams with all-star caliber players on the team, and you're getting them at a good price. So,
who is your biggest value bet? Who would you go with?
Oh, value, really, it's funny. It's where people have been betting is there is a lot of value on the Blazers. You're getting right now they're plus 1,500, so you're getting a lot of money back on a lot of return on investment if they do it. Now, granted, Blazers do have a uphill battle. You know, just getting into the playoffs alone is going to be a challenge, but if anyone can do it, it's them.
Yeah, but what about Houston? How are people feeling about the Rockets? They're a team that plays such a different style, and it was kind of catching on before the NBA shut down. And I think people are just wondering how that's going to work out in Orlando. Just where are people at on Houston and their chances of making a run and being a dark horse in the Western Conference?
Yes, at BetMGM, Houston actually is not one of the teams that we've seen a lot of action on. They're right now only at 2% of our bets. So, like I said, Portland is 1% of them. So people don't like the small ball style for the Rockets, at least betting-wise.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough. Christian Cipollini, our guest here, BetMGM Sports Trader. I'll get you out here on this one, Christian. What team, if you had to lay money, what team are you laying the money on? What are the two teams in the NBA Finals, in your opinion?
So even though they lost last night, I'm still on the Clippers train. I think they were missing some guys last night, missing Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, and still a pretty close game there. So out of the West, I still like the Clippers. Obviously, it's going to be hard. Any team to beat the Bucks, Giannis is just on another level. So it's tough to go against the Bucks, but I'll let my bias go, and I'll go Clippers Sixers.
There we go. Good stuff. Christian Cipollini, BetMGM Sports Trader, our guest here. The NBA tipping off again here in Portland as they're about to take on the Memphis Grizzlies. Christian, thanks so much for hopping on, my man, and giving us the up-to-date info on the BetMGM lines and giving us your thoughts on where to maybe move some money.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, there we go. Christian Cipollini of BetMGM Sports Trader. He likes the Clippers and the Bucks, real, you know, chalk. But I think a lot of people, when you're betting, you want to do what you can to win. Some good value bets for some of the dogs there, but he's going to roll with the two favorites.
Yeah, you can get the Blazers right now as a 2.5-point favorite against Memphis. That game just about to get underway. Looks like one other game. I think Phoenix and Washington is about to start as well. Phoenix, an overwhelming favorite over Washington.
I would actually, whatever Booker's over on points are, I would bet that.
You take the Suns to blow them out?
Washington is...
They're playing nobody.
God-awful. Bradley Beal is not playing. Yeah.
7.5 is the line right now. It's just from what I'm seeing.
I'd stay away from money line stuff. I don't know what Booker's point value is, the over under of that number, but I would take
224.5 is the over under for points. They're a minus 305 on the money line.
If you can find Booker value of what his points should be, I would take the over on that.
And three other games as well today. Yeah. Portland and Memphis, 2.5. I like the line there. I put some money this morning on Portland. I think it's an easy game, not an easy game, but a good game for them to start out with a young team, not quite sure how to handle this situation. So I got my money on the Blazers today.
Yeah, Portland is they're just starting right now. They just did the anthem as you've got the guys getting everything ready here. The Blazers about to tip off against the Grizzlies. You know, the other element of this was when you get restart basketball, look, I don't expect every single player to play every single game. The fact that the New Orleans Pelicans, for example, last night, they're only having 22 teams back because of Zion. I will not hear any other reason, not even reaching the floor of their local broadcasters. You know, they have to get 70 game threshold. You're not doing all 30.
Right.
Right. And some of the teams that you're bringing back, aren't. I don't think that all these teams that are coming back are going to get to 70 games.
Because a handful of them are on national TV. Those games are on local TV games.
Right. So you're not going to really meet any threshold for most of your providers. So that's not a logical reason to me. You're only bringing back 22 and you brought back too many. The Spurs don't care about this. Phoenix sucks. Sacramento, kind of a wild card. I know they're right in between Portland and New Orleans, but you're only doing this for Zion. You have Zion in your first game and he plays 13 minutes. Yeah. I mean, what did he play? 6, 7 minutes the first half?
I think it was 6 minutes in the first half.
And then he had a minute restriction we weren't really sure about because we were told originally he didn't have a minutes restriction. And then that turned to him not playing in crunch time, to which Alvin Gentry just goes, well, he reached his minutes, so I couldn't play him. Dude, if you knew he had a minutes restriction, and by the way, I'm a fan of Alvin Gentry. Seems like a really good guy. I think he's a good coach. About, you know, middle tier. If you knew he had a minute restriction, why would you not save like 2 or 3 minutes of those minutes for the end of the game when you need him? Yeah, that was so mismanaged by them.
I got when he first came back and everybody in the NBA was excited to watch him and he looked really bad for 3 quarters and then caught fire. I understood the minutes restriction there. I mean, he was limited practice time. He had been injured since the, you know, NBA Summer League. You were trying to bring him along slowly. I get that. Unless there's something that they're just not letting us know. He apparently has been healthy because they haven't really labeled major injury concerns. He was asked if it was a conditioning thing. Alvin Gentry was after the game, and he responded saying, quote, I was told the minutes he could play, and that's what I did. So you're getting a orchestrated organizational decision on how many minutes per game Zion is going to play. If I'm a Pelicans fan, it's driving me nuts because, to your point, you didn't have him in the game at the end when you desperately could have used him. He's one of the best players, if not the best player on your team, and he used up all of his minutes before crunch time when they really needed him in a loss to Utah, and you're trying to make the playoffs this year. But what are we like? Why are we treating him with kid gloves? Like, at some point, you got to rip the Band-Aid off there. It reminds me of the way Major League Baseball teams handle young starting pitchers in this day and age, and we've been doing it fine for a long time. And if he doesn't have an injury concern, he seems to be in okay shape, the same shape that he's been in the last 2 years that I've seen him play basketball. Like, get him out there. Let him play a little bit.
Yeah. Zach Collins with the first shot attempt as the Blazers just tipped it off. They won the tip and Zach missed the shot. So there you go. The Blazers are underway. I also think you're doing an incredible disservice to your general NBA fan. I mean, you can hate the Lakers and most of us here do. There's a ton of LeBron fans. So, yeah, you get some fan bases that get a little conflicted if they like a player that's not on their team. But I think you're screwing your fan base over by basically setting this up for that guy. And then he gets there and basically doesn't play. It's like penciling in a Spurs game for Thursday night TNT in the middle of the season. And Duncan, Ginobili, Parker are coming. They're one of the best teams. Mm-hmm. Most people find them boring, but they're still recognizable names. Guess who sits that night, right? It's the same thing. The NBA gets mad about that. Well, you did this for Zion, and now he's not going to play?
Right.
I don't know where he's at physically. They've been very vague on some of that stuff, and I'm still not all that. I'm not 100% convinced he left the bubble for just personal reasons, aside from maybe getting evaluated a little bit. But overall, if he's not ready to play, don't play him. Just sit him. What's the point of playing him 8 minutes when you are one of the playoff, you're one of the teams running for the playoff spot?
Right.
It lowers your chances of making it. And I think you absolutely screw over your fans that tune in to watch him because he is exciting. He is really good. You mentioned the minutes he played and what he was able to do in those minutes. It was pretty impressive. So we keep getting these sample sizes from Zion. And I know he had other games before the shutdown where he gave you much more production and played more minutes. But man, you can't keep teasing people. He's either playing or he's not playing. It's really annoying to watch.
Yeah, it's one of those things. If there is a lingering injury issue, you're doing your fans a disservice by not labeling it. I get that you don't want this narrative to be overtaken that he is injury prone and he can't stay healthy. I get that there's a fear there. But if I'm a Pelican fan, I would much rather know that he's got a nagging hamstring injury and that's why he's playing 16 minutes as opposed to we're just playing him 16 minutes because
right,
we don't feel like playing him 25 minutes. Is something bad going to happen in those extra 9 minutes? It's like when you say a starting pitcher can throw 70 pitches. Really, is his arm going to fall off at number 78? Like, that's the threshold? Like, give me a break. If he's healthy enough to play, play him. We talked for weeks about how he was looking like Bane and he was in shape. And look at this. Zion's going to dominate. Now he's too fat again to play more than 16 minutes. It just doesn't make any sense.
You know, I'm not going to do too much play-by-play. I can't imagine Dirt will. But just to give you a quick update, it's only been a few minutes. Blazers have not hit a shot yet. It's only 2-0. But, yeah, slow start for both teams. Couple minutes in. As they get it going against Memphis. All right, let's shift to college football. For those hanging out with us and got the Blazer game on in the background, let's talk a little college football. The Pac-12 introduced a new schedule, the Ducks and the Beavers. They're going to play the rivalry game when? We'll tell you next on The Fan. All right, looks good so far. They're starting to hit shots, getting a groove, these two teams. Portland up 11-10. Collins and Nurk looking good. Pac-12 news to get to. The conference had a Zoom call at 1 o'clock.
They Zoomed it up, man.
And they approved the 2020 football schedule change and kind of plan and map out what they're going to do here. So they're pushing back their start date to September 26th officially. They are going to go 10 conference games. And there's a lot we can dive into with this. The title game for the Pac-12 was supposed to move to Vegas. That's pushed a year now. Yeah. The Pac-12 title game will be held at the Better Team Stadium, correct? That's
yes, it will be like the old way it used to be when you initially had the Pac-12 championship.
So Eugene, for example, could be hosting the Pac-12 title game. Mm-hmm. I expect Reeser to be hosting the Pac-12 title game. there's a lot of moving parts with that. But with the 10 conference game schedule, everything's been changed now because, all right, we have a pushback date and you want to get your big money games in, which is something you noticed right away. For example, Oregon and Oregon State, the clash of the Willamette, they will not play at the end of the year anymore.
No.
That has been pushed up to October 17th. I believe for OSU, that's about their fourth or fifth game, and I would assume it's very similar for Oregon. So Oregon, Oregon State, for example, has been moved up onto October 17th.
Yeah, so for each of them, it will be their fourth game. I got each of their schedules in front of me. So, Yes, it will be their fourth game. So Oregon opens Colorado, Washington State, Arizona State, Oregon State. And then Oregon State opens Cal, UCLA, Utah, Oregon. And then they both go against Washington. And then for Oregon, it's Cal, USC, Arizona, Stanford, Utah from there. For OSU, it's Arizona, Stanford, Wazoo, Colorado and ASU. So they'll close. Oregon will close with Utah this year if you get there on December 5th, and Oregon State will close with Arizona State. They moved the start back to 9/26, which I like. We talked about this yesterday with the SEC. Give yourself as much time as possible. See if it's feasible. There was just, and I'm going to blank on the school, so if somebody can remember, help me. I believe there was a Pac-12 school, I want to say USC, that had like a huge outbreak at a fraternity just this last week. I saw a big news story on that yesterday. It was like 40, 50 different cases that popped out of a fraternity party that happened. Give yourself time in September to see how all of this stuff plays out. And the Big Ten is going to follow a similar note. Like, there's been a lot of rumblings that they're going to schedule Michigan and Ohio State in September or early October because it's a big money game for them. And rivalries are a big deal in the conference. I know it's no longer the Civil War, but still a very important game, and it gets a lot of eyeballs. You have some teams that are now opening with their rival, USC and UCLA, playing each other in week one. You have Arizona and Arizona State playing each other in week one. So you're trying to move those games up that are really going to captivate audiences early on in the season, just in case. And I think it's a huge red flag for people, or at least it should be, that these conferences are understanding there's not a great chance that we finish this year. So if we're going to get these games in, let's get as many big ones out of the way as we can to capitalize on some TV revenue.
I was just going to say, like, isn't it kind of obvious? Aren't they telling you what they think by doing the reschedule? It's not about just the reschedule, by the way, with the 10 conference games and moving everything back, but then moving things differently around. It is kind of an acknowledgement in a roundabout way of saying, look, we really value USC, UCLA. We really value Michigan, Ohio State. If you're pushing those within the first 4 weeks of the season, I think you're hitting the nail on the head that you kind of have to read the tea leaves. They are telling you, not a great chance we're going to get through all these 10 games. Now, whether that means they start and then they pause and then they wait a month or two.
Yeah, everybody's got open dates, and then there's an open date on December 12th to reschedule games as well.
But, you know, look at what's happening in Major League Baseball. I think that's the best you could possibly do is see what is going on in other sports. And baseball is very reminiscent to what college football is going to be doing, right? Mm.
or very similar, not reminiscent, very similar of we're going to travel, probably no fans, but we're still going to go to different stadiums. Baseball has just had another outbreak, right? Another outbreak with another team, and that may be impacting another team that hasn't quite reported an outbreak. It's what you get. And whether you travel day of, night before, I still don't think you can fully stop it from happening unless they learn something from baseball, and in which the NBA will probably take note, the NFL. But I think college knows, and we've known this all along, there is a great chance that play will be stopped. We'll have to wait. And that's why you push these big dollar games up. So at least the fan bases can say, hey, I watched Michigan, Ohio State. I also wonder how that impacts some of those rivalry games. Does Michigan benefit? You know, they play early versus maybe getting depleted and they can snap a losing streak. Does the Oregon States of the world, I know they're not the biggest of rivals right now, but I think some of these games, when you place them versus when they're normally played, you never know what team's going to catch the other team in a bad spot.
That's very true. And I think giving yourself time to figure out what the NFL looks like in the first couple of weeks, how their training camps play out, it's just smart, and I'm happy that the Pac-12 is following suit with that. If you want to go down the angle as well of there is going to be a season and they'll find a way through this, Oregon has benefited greatly from this. Mm-hmm. Now, it sucks for the fans because you're losing out on arguably, actually, I don't even know if it's arguably, it is the best home schedule you've ever had in the history of your program. You hope at some point you'll reschedule Ohio State and you get a similar year with all the other conference games lining up as well. But Oregon having a chance now, instead of playing, you know, an Ohio State in week two, they get to open with Colorado and Washington State, two programs that I think people are expecting to be down this year. Colorado breaking in a new head coach, Washington State breaking in a new head coach. Then you get Arizona State at home, which is going to be a tough game. So I think Arizona State's going to be good, but you get them at home as your first test. And then Oregon State before a bye, and then you take on Washington and USC, which are arguably the two toughest games on your schedule. You get them kind of in the back half. So you get a chance to ease in, figure out how the season's going to look, break in a new starting quarterback. I think from a, if you want to go down the road of this season's going to happen and they'll finish a schedule out, I think Oregon benefited greatly from how it just kind of starts out for them.
Well, and I think what else you get too, and this isn't to say that you're not going to miss Ohio State, Oregon. Like, that matchup will happen once COVID we kick its ass. But as much as it sucks to not have, and I know they had, was it North Dakota State or is it South Dakota State?
North Dakota State.
North Dakota
opener.
State. That's not an easy FCS type team, but you know, 10 conference games, you don't have to worry about, because North Dakota State, as you know, respected as they are, there's a very good chance Oregon ends up winning a game like that 55-20.
Right?
And we walk out like, oh, yeah, how about that win? When in reality, it's a talent gap between those two programs. You can be great in the FCS. It's another to go to Eugene and be a program like Oregon.
Those are always a lose-lose. If you don't blow them out by enough, it's bad. If you lose, it's obviously
God,
bad.
I remember some of those shows you'd do and Oregon fan would sound, we only won by 25. What's going on here? You get to eliminate that, and at least for a year, as tough as it may be, 10 conference games, I love it. We're going back to the old ways of doing things in the conference.
I do too.
And now it's going to be in every single week, except against programs maybe like Arizona. You don't know what's going to happen because conference games are entirely different than getting a buildup into conference games.
I am, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. And we can get into this next if you want, although baseball's a dumpster fire and will eventually deserve its own segment.
I love talking college football, my man.
I have seen some national columnists start to bring this up. I think Mandel has brought this up, a couple other, Bruce Feldman as well. Hoping, I mean, there's always unintended consequences of things, and I'm hoping that one of them could end up being a positive, and that is if you go through this scheduling process, fans get to see this again. Who knows what the season's going to look like? But if it does happen and it works, why can't this just be the mandate? Can we just play 10 conference games every year?
Right.
I get that it's an issue for the Big 12. That's on you. Don't call yourself the Big 12 with 10 teams. Go add two more teams. Figure it out, okay? We can play 10 conference games every single year. There's more interesting games for fans. There's more compelling matchups throughout the course of the season. And you could have, hopefully, out of this, if it works, a mandate in scheduling and say you play 10 conference games, you play one Power 5 team in non-conference, and then you can schedule a cupcake if you want as a warm-up game, either early in the season or late in the season if you want to tune up before a big rivalry game. You can figure out where you want to put that. This should be a scheduling mandate for all of college football. It would make the sport better. It would make the entertainment value better. There are literally zero negative outcomes from it.
Larry Scott, by the way, on the Zoom call for the Pac-12 said, quote, "We've presented the possibility of bowl games with our schedule pushback. We've also preserved the possibility of the college football playoff," to which I would also say, it depends what other conferences are going to end up doing and putting in actual concrete, saying, hey, we're going to play X amount of conference games. Still going to be incredibly difficult, I think, with no non-conference tilts. How is the committee going to separate this? If you have, and Damian Lillard is, well, okay. I don't want to scare you. Dame fell for a second. He's grabbing his leg.
He's okay.
Don't do that to us, Dame.
Deep breaths.
Let me ask. I want to keep on this topic in college football. So the Pac-12 is going 10 conference games. The Big Ten's doing 10 conference games. It seems like most of these conferences are going to that. Ideally, if you could create what the schedule is in college football, what would you choose? Because I'm jacked to have 10 conference games and kind of just go conference by conference and do it that way. What would you do? You can let us know at the fan text line. We'll continue some college football talk next.
Welcome back in. 1:32. Hope your Fridays are going well. Got a timeout first quarter. Blazers up 25-23. Memphis. Good little start. Both teams shooting it pretty well from the floor.
Like what I'm seeing defensively with Whiteside, Nurkic had some good run there. I thought Collins and Nurk had some good passing. And that's the thing that I like about Zach. I don't want to argue about what Zach means or doesn't mean and what he'll mean long term.
Cornerstone or no.
I think what I've noticed about him kind of at the tail end of last year and then his slow build into this year, and I know they're scrimmage, I like how he moves up the ball. I think he understands they're not looking at him to get buckets. So he is really effective rolling to the hoop, then quickly turning and trying to make a play for somebody else to get free, whether that's a back screen, run baseline, go free throw high, kind of at the elbow area, catch the ball, and either maybe take a power dribble in and get a bucket, or you dump it off to Yusuf. It's something that has stuck out with Zach to me. And those are contributions that he could be a pivotal role guy, right? Like if he doesn't become this all-pro NBA all-star, I know we picked him as a top 10 pick and we traded two picks for it, but it doesn't have to mean he's a multi-all-star. Some teams have pivotal role guys. Yep. I mean, Miami Heat still have Udonis Haslem on their roster. He's been there since Dwayne Wade. So when you can find guys that just understand the system and they fit well, you keep him around for quite some time. That's an encouraging sign, I think, from Zach. Is he's not pressing offensively. We know what he does defensively. You get a guy like that to just roll around and make plays offensively as a screen slash passer, it's great. It makes life easier for Dame and CJ.
Yeah, the rotations have been pretty interesting early on of him playing with starting with Nurkic and then playing alongside Whiteside. He has only one foul in 5 minutes, so that's good. He hasn't fouled out yet in the first quarter, so you got to find your positives.
I'm mad that we're not digital fans right now.
You want to get zoomed in? We couldn't even fill up the Zoom fan base there.
So are the digital fans, have we found out if they're, are those live, like they turn a Zoom camera on and they're there live waving their hands? Or is it like the NFL draft where it's clearly pre-recorded?
I don't know.
And not live? Because Chris Bosh was saying that he actually had a good view.
Like he was watching the game through the screen? Is that how it works?
I don't know. I'll look into it. But Bosh
You're asking
basically
me about technology? Come on.
I mean, you're only in your 40s. It's kind of inexcusable to act like you're so old you can't understand.
On the Zoom board, Swigard. Come on. Zoom your way into that game.
We just golfed with a bro that works at Dell. He was older than you. He knows all this technology stuff. You can't blame old age.
Can I say something, too? We're on this tangent now, so we're just going to keep riding it. We'll get back into college football scheduling here in a moment. I am all for the, and I think it's great, they're allowing the players to put messages on their jerseys.
Where I'm going to go.
I hope we have the same observation here. Remember, there was a big issue, like players saying they wanted to maintain their social voice and all that stuff, and they worried about the restart distracting. So that was one of the ideas the NBA came up with. I'm all for it. Some guys are doing it. Some guys aren't. Whatever. To each their own. I realized last night how little I know about NBA players and who they are when you take the name off the back of the jersey. Because when you have the
name, not where I was going.
The Blazers are one thing, and like prominent players are another. But there's a couple of like role players. Like you mentioned one of the guys, I can't even remember his name, for the Clippers last night. Like, dude, I don't know who the hell this guy is.
Oh, Jermichael Green.
Jermichael Green. Like, because he doesn't have his name on the back of the jersey. So they would say it every time he did something. But if you ask me, like, hey, who's number 42? I don't even know what number he is. But who is that guy? I couldn't tell you in a million years.
Well, I'm also kind of, I've got a little judgy on the back of the uniform here. Like, again, all in on the social justice or messaging that you want to get out. I think it's great. It, by the way, doesn't have to be political. If you want to make it political, that is absolutely your doing, nobody else's.
Zion just had peace.
Peace, unity, peace. Black yeah. Lives Matter. These are not political statements. Yeah. These are just, quite frankly, how human beings should feel about other people. But I sometimes read the back of the uni and I get what it's supposed to mean, but I'm like, you couldn't come up with something maybe a little better. Like Hazonia says, stand up.
Stand up.
Yeah, stand up. Could you add one more word to maybe finish it? Stand up to injustice. Because some guys have three words. Other guys have two. The one I saw yesterday, and I think it was Patrick Patterson. Patrick Patterson? Yeah.
He can't remember his name anymore. Well, his name is on the jersey.
I'm confusing him with the NFL player. But he was playing for the Clips, and on the back of his, it just says, I am a man. And my first thing is, obviously, I think he's referencing... He's black, but yes. Hey, I'm just a man like everybody else. But when you just read, I am a man, I know, Patrick, I'm not confused. You're in the NBA. Yeah. I know you're a man.
You also think of Mike Gundy, too. Fair or not.
Yeah. I'm a man.
Mike Gundy comes to mind there.
So, you know, different jerseys. Did you see what that, I don't know a whole lot about him, but I've seen his tweets from time to time, and I just roll my eyes. He's one of those political idiots that his whole existence is just to piss people off and create division and then profit off it while the people who retweet him don't understand that. Charlie Kirk, you heard of this idiot? This jackass, he's getting all pissed off because they're kneeling at the national anthem. So, of course, he's got to make a big deal of it. And then he gets his usual morons who retweet him. He's called out. Somebody finds out because he basically says, I'm not watching the NBA anymore. He's been making these threats since 2013. People found like 6 screen grabs of different instances where he proclaims he'll never watch the NBA anymore.
That's it. I'm done.
Or you're pandering to a small segment of the country in hopes that you can profit off it, and you're an absolute jackass who should not have a very prominent public platform.
Yeah, I'm really curious to find the... I haven't seen him yet. I've seen some tweets referencing it, but nobody said the concrete numbers. I'm really curious how many people watched last night and how high the numbers were, because I think Major League Baseball had decent numbers for their opening night, that Nationals-Yankees game, even though it ended up in a rain delay for a bit, and then the Giants-Dodgers had a little bit... less, because obviously it's a West Coast game that's later. Their weekend numbers weren't quite as solid, but
baseballs?
Baseballs, yeah, like the Fox Saturday games, that kind of stuff.
But you're in July.
Exactly.
And
we're
it's
out doing
beautiful,
stuff.
Yeah.
You're not going to be cooped up inside. I always just chuckle at that, too. Like, you don't want to watch me. You don't have to watch. I'm all for it. Sports are back, and I'm loving every minute of it. If you don't want to watch, hey, that's more for the rest of us, huh?
Well, you know what's odd is people, first of all, the fact that you allow politics to just absolutely dictate whether you watch something that you enjoy is really dumbfounded. I'm dumbfounded by that. Oh, I disagree with this, so I'm not going to watch something I enjoy. Okay, cool. Like, do you think the league's going to take note?
Right.
Bill Smith in Wyoming, upset by Black Lives Matters, is not watching anymore.
You really pissed off Bill, man.
They don't care. I watch players and athletes that I don't like because I think it makes it more enjoyable.
Right.
Why can't you just operate into that?
Yeah, I also chuckle too because they bemoan cancel culture from time to time, and then something like that happens and they try and cancel the NBA, which is just, you know, a whole nother topic.
I think we've learned the people who scream snowflake the most are actually the biggest of snowflakes.
Yeah, did anybody else have that though? Did you not have any moments like that when you're watching the game and you're just like, I don't know who this guy is? Or are you that familiar with the faces and the numbers of the players that it didn't affect you?
I noticed it more from the glimpses I caught of the Utah
New Orleans game.
Yeah. I mean, the Laker Clipper game.
They're more prominent players.
More prominent.
For sure.
You've probably seen a lot more of them too.
Well,
so.
Some of the guys too have different hairstyles from when we saw them a few months. Like,
some of them got a little shaggy or letting it grow.
Yeah, yeah. Like
Derek's got a different look.
Derek Favors now has like the small dreads going. He didn't really have, I don't think he had that. I think he was doing the traditional just short cut. And now he's got the small dread. So I was like, for a second, who is that? It's Derek Favors, but you're going to have that from time to time. And look, I think guys like you who watch 90%, it's just Blazer basketball and not so much League Pass.
That's who I am as an NBA fan.
You're going to have this for almost all the teams. Who the hell is this role guy?
What's this dude,
like,
man?
Do you know who 44 is?
For Memphis?
Yeah.
That's Anthony Tolliver.
Okay.
I just know that because I can recognize his bald head.
Well, I was wondering if you'd recognize him.
He's a little out of shape, doesn't move very well, and he's standing at the three-point line. That looks like Anthony Tolliver.
Yes. Yeah.
But the other guys, though, yeah, like number 20, no chance on Memphis, no clue. I forgot Grayson, the tripper, was on Memphis as well.
Yeah, another guy that I...
He's out there. Now, I recognize that face. You cannot recognize Garrett Grayson.
You can't not see
That's
Grayson.
That's a Duke-on-Duke crime right there.
It is Duke-on-Duke crime.
Oh, he stepped underneath him as he landed for a three. What a dirty play. Garrett Grayson. God, it's good to have the NBA back,
I think you're going to have that. You're just going to have guys that you don't recognize from time to time, and you'll have to Google the number.
Who is this guy?
Number 18 on Phoenix.
Yeah, who is this guy? It challenges the announcers a little bit more, too, because you got to memorize the numbers specifically. You can't get a little boost from the names on the back of the jersey.
It's very true.
So, okay, let's get back into college scheduling, shall we? It looks like end of the first quarter, 35-30 is going to be your score unless Gary Trent Jr. hits another free throw here because there's 1 second left. And he did not. So 35-30, the Blazers will lead at the end of the first quarter. Mario Hezonja off the bench with 6 points. Nice little start for Mario.
Defense optional for Memphis. Defense optional.
I have a feeling that's going to be the way a lot of teams are playing early on in the bubble restart basketball. But 5-point lead for the Blazers early. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on there.
By the way, we can get back into college because Larry Scott just said something. He was asked about fans attending games.
Okay, let's do that. We'll revise. If you're just joining us, we'll let you know the Pac-12 announced their official schedules for the upcoming year, delaying the start a little bit more. They flipped up all the games. So when are you playing? What school? We'll let you know for Oregon, Oregon State, Washington, Washington State, and all that good stuff. Larry Scott's quote on attendance as well. Crunch time coming up next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, Beaverton Aloha Division, all back up and running. They got great deals going on going into the month of August. I believe they're giving out free 7-day guest pass if you mention a commercial I'm about to air in the next month. So keep that in mind.
Let's go!
I still can't walk, and my pounder did not come in this morning, and I desperately need it before I golf tomorrow.
That is 7-9.
Well, when you say you can't walk, I'm assuming that the pounder is in.
My quads are so tight right now.
No, I'm not a bro. Oh,
that's cool.
It's bad, man. It's bad. It hurts. I'm in pain. Hey, college football schedules came out. We're all fired up about this. As the Pac-12 re-announced their schedule, they changed it all up. Remember that bro from Utah who announced that Oregon and Utah were going to play on September 12th?
Yeah, like the Ute Zone. Ooh, Swigart.
Oh, yeah. Tickle me.
Boy, that's foreplay.
It's literally their last game of the year. They're playing on December 5th.
Was he wrong?
It is, I think, in Utah.
They weren't wrong. They said they were going to play Oregon, and it was going to be in Utah. The date might have been wrong. But
just a hair. It's only off by a couple months.
What was the date in that story?
It was the first game of the year. They were going to open in Utah. It was like September 12th. They were replacing like the Ohio State game.
At least he still got most of that report right.
Hair off. By the way, Mario Hezonja is a stud now.
No, he's not.
In case you're wondering what happened during the COVID break.
Here we go.
Good chance it might be snowing for that game in Utah.
A little snow game. I like that. Here is, I'm just going to rattle through these quickly. Okay. Ready for this in case people are just joining us and you haven't heard yet. Starting with, let's start with up north. Let's go Wazoo first. Wazoo, here is your schedule. By the way, the home and road games were all the same. So if you remember where your team was playing that team, it's still the same. I think everybody's got 5-5. Wazoo, you got Utah, Oregon, UCLA, Cal, bye week, Stanford, USC, Arizona State, Oregon State, Washington, Colorado.
Already forgot half that schedule.
You already forgot it? Let's go win by win. What's our record going to be? Washington, here's your schedule. Stanford, Arizona, Cal, OSU, Oregon, Colorado, Utah, UCLA, Wazoo, USC.
That Oregon game is Halloween night.
Halloween. Oh, it is Halloween night. I just learned that.
Halloween. I guess we don't have kickoff times yet, but we'll worry about that later.
Trick or a treat?
That should be a new segment we do in the fall.
Trick?
A trick or a treat?
Or a treat.
I'm all for that. Let's do it.
Mario Hezonja, a trick.
He's a treat,
or
baby.
A treat.
He's going to go in double figures today.
Shut up.
OSU, Cal, UCLA, Utah, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Stanford, Wazoo, Colorado, ASU. And then last but not least, Oregon is Colorado, Wazoo, ASU, OSU, Washington, Cal, USC, Arizona, Stanford, and Utah.
I really hate to be the guy because I'm sitting 4 feet from you.
Be the guy. Do it.
I don't remember any of the games you just read off.
I'm going to go win by win. Let's go every team. Let's go to Arizona now. No, just kidding. So everybody's got a bye week at some point in the season. It's either in week 4, week 5, or week 6. Yeah, week 4, week 5, or week 6. So you have a bye week in the middle of the season. There are games that are, according to them, shaded in that can be rescheduled.
Yeah, so basically what they did is the team you play in the opener that you're scheduled against,
yes,
you'll have the same bye week as that team. Ah. So if the first week gets pushed back, they can make it up on that bye week. And then there's a week between the Pac-12 title game and the end of the season, so those second games of the season, if they need to make them up.
I see what you did there.
And that's why the what the heck do they call the Arizona rivalry?
The Territorial Cup. You just got really angry about that.
Yeah, you did.
I was frustrated with myself. Yeah. Like,
I know it.
Yeah, and then the USC-UCLA game, that's why they scheduled them first, because those are hot spots right now, and there's a good chance they might have to reschedule
you
those.
You should just take the approach that I do to memorize all the rivalries in college football. Woman, man, TV, camera. I just keep saying the rivalries in that order.
Apple Cup. Got it.
Apple Cup, unknown. Battle for LA.
I don't know why they just made me think of Michael Scott's remembering of names and stories about people.
Oh, like when the boss at another company has a gay son, and it's like the color orange. Orange, you glad you didn't say it, or it's red. Stop.
No, it's orange. You don't mention that, right?
The Ducks have 2 Friday games.
They do have 2 Friday games. ASU and Arizona.
The Beavers have no Friday games.
Some of that, man. No Friday night games. This would be the time to play Friday night games because fans ain't going to be in attendance. What did Larry Scott say about
no
fans?
High school football.
Okay, so I actually put a poll question on this.
Good point.
I think this is going to be a bit contentious. I know the Blazers are playing right now, and we got college music going. I think this is a real thing to consider when we get closer to the season.
A lot going on right now.
He was asked about fans going to games. He just punted. The Pac-12 will have no say in that at all. He says they're leaving it up to local and state government. So there is a distinct possibility that Oregon and Oregon State don't allow any fans all year. And then when they go on the road to these Arizonas or the Utahs or whoever's of the world, those places have fans. I think he's making a big mistake. The season already is kind of shot from what you thought it would be. You're moving things around. You have to have, I think you got to be in unison on this. I think if LA is a hot spot or Oregon is a no-go, you can't have Utah have fans. Some of these teams are going to have home field advantages and other teams aren't.
Yeah, I'm kind
of
with you there.
I do not like that at all. I'm not shocked that he did it, but come on, Pac-12. Don't punt and kick that away.
Yeah.
Now, I know why he's doing it. You're having too many different universities get in his ear about, hey, we're losing $40 million this year. Let us make up $4 million of that with gate money. But how uneven is this going to be? Are we looking at Oregon has no home fans all year, and then they have to go to Utah and Rice-Eccles in December in the cold?
Yeah,
and there's a half-filled stadium?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, they get the vaccine by the end of the year and they pack the house for a road game at the end of the season.
Yeah, if we get a vaccine, it may change things. I thought it was kind of a coward's way out of punting, but I also know why he did it. It's because he knows schools are going to look to make money at the gate.
I'll further this a little bit too. So both Oregon and Oregon State open at home, as do Washington and Washington State. So all 4 of the Northwest schools open at home. Would you attend a game?
I mean, look, this is
a limited attendance
or as a media member.
In the stands. So Oregon opens with Colorado. Oregon State opens with Cal. I say limited attendance. You can have 10,000 people in that stadium.
Do I get my own section? Maybe if I had my entire own section, like Charlie Sheen at a Cubs game.
I mean, if you told me they went 25 to 30% capacity, I absolutely would with a mask. If people are wearing masks the whole... Look, I've been walking around lately to these different stores. And again, I'll say it, I'm encouraged. Everybody is wearing a mask. They just did this study in Hong Kong a month ago. Hong Kong has flattened the curve completely. They're living normal lives because they're wearing masks everywhere they go. And yeah, you're still going to get a little bit of spread. It's not going to go away completely. But when everybody is wearing a mask together, your contamination goes down substantially. So I would say if you go to a certain percentage, your stadium can be filled.
I kick around the idea. I probably won't because I like to stay home and watch all the games and, you know, I don't like being away from my family all day. So I would say personally, I would, but most likely will not.
I think the things I'd be more concerned about is restroom situation. Can I bring my own food? Those sorts of things. The less stuff I have to handle that many, many people are handling, the better. Like you can space it out in a giant stadium. You can do the math and say, okay, our stadium seats 60,000 people. We're going to let 12,000 in. That gives everybody enough space, you know, to sit with the people from their household and they don't have to be right next to people. But it's restrooms, it's concessions, it's getting in and out of the stadium, those sorts of things. I would have to know more details, or can I bring all my own stuff and you're not going to hassle me about it?
Would you?
Probably not, no.
What if they said 25? If you're going 25 capacity at Eugene, that's pretty spaced. I'm not, you know.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't. That's just my own. Everybody's going to be different.
No judgments.
Have their own personal preference on that one. It's just, it's not that huge of a priority. I would love to watch college football, and I'm all for, you know, sitting around and watching these games all day on Saturdays. Like, I can't wait for that again. But, yeah, it's not a huge thing for me right now to get back to a live sporting event. I love watching them, but not attending them. So there you go. Pac-12 schedules were announced. These are all over Twitter. You can go find them. The conference tweeted them out starting on September 26th. That is the first date of the college football season for the conference. They're playing 10 Pac-12 games. That's it. Everybody has a coinciding bye week with the team they play in the first 2 weeks of the season in case that game needs to be rescheduled. And then everybody in the conference has an open week on December 12th, which is usually... it's usually December 5th, I think, is when the conference championship game is. So December 12th is an open week, and then the week after that, they're planning on having the Pac-12 championship game hosted by the team with the better record. That's what the Pac-12 is going to look like if they can get a season in this year.
Do you think ultimately we're going to have games with fans and games without fans? Do you think we're going to have a very uneven home field situation in the conference?
I wouldn't be shocked if that ended up happening, but at least in Major League Baseball, they've had similar things, and it's been pretty widespread. Like, you know what? No, we're not going to do it quite yet. You've had owners that want to put fans in. Football would be a bit of a different test, though. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Beaverton Aloha Division all back up and running. Go check them out, crunch.com, or stop by one of their three locations. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. We'll spring the line at 2:30. We got a lot to gamble on, man. There was a radio show in Toronto that tweeted out a screen grab of every sporting event going on this weekend. Did you see that?
I saw you retweet it, and I was like,
my sports fans were so tight.
Well, okay, you're right, but let me ask you this. I'm wondering how many of those games, am I really going to sit inside all weekend with this weather to watch
weekend.
Most of those games?
Not on weekend, but we'll run it down. We'll show you how cool that graphic looks. Well, spring line, we got a lot to gamble on, 2:30. We'll get in. There's a Monday Night Football announcement we need to talk about. Also, baseball.
Ooh, breaking news out of baseball.
Baseball's
not surprising.
Not looking very good right now. So we'll go there to start the final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Spring on 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.